I look so forward to hearing Anna DeVlantis on the air this week in Chicago history. Hi, Anna.
You know, this is interesting. You just played that great audio bump. When I was doing my research for this segment, actually, I noticed you interviewed Carl Giammarisi not all that long ago of the Buckingham's fame. And it's just interesting to go back and, you know, talk about this day in history, 1921. Carl was born. So happy birthday, Carl. You know, he's a Lane Tech High School grad, Wendy, but he wanted to be an engineer.
It's funny because Bob's record collection is coming up, and I was actually going to play the Buckinghams because it's his birthday today. But I'm glad I didn't because we're talking about him now.
Okay, this is a fun fact. I know you've interviewed him over the years, and he's such a cool guy. But WGN was holding a contest, Wendy, back in the day, 1965. They wanted a house band for this new show they were launching called All Time Hits. And Carl Giammarisi and the Buckinghams won that contest. The other fun thing to talk about is they were known as the Pulsations back then, but a security guard at WGN-TV said, you know what, this British invasion thing, it's pretty big. The Beatles are hot. Why don't you call yourself something kind of British sounding? And gave them the idea of the Buckinghams, and they changed their name. So really cool to see how WGN played such a big role. And as they were on that show, they just became, you know, so popular. They debuted a hit single, Kind of a Drag. It was the first single they had that sold a million copies.
When I heard that song, I thought it was Canada Dry.
It's kind of a drag.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's interesting to think about, like, just, I don't know, this homegrown talent and how they got their start. I just love that backstory. Ended up, you know, Columbia Records repped them. They went on the Ed Sullivan Show, American Bandstand, sold a ton of records. We pulled some audio here. They were on a local TV station talking about their success.
There was the Civil Rights Act in 1964, segregation in 65, all the protesting on college campuses over the Vietnam War. And I knew they were happening. We all knew that. But we were so focused on our music that we didn't pay a lot of attention to all that was going on at the time. The music was very connected to those times and what was going on. You know, civil rights, segregation, the protests, the Vietnam War, presidential assassinations, and the music seemed to fit in perfectly. Now, there was a certain amount of tension, and of course the Democratic convention in 68 and all the riots going on. Our music, the Buckinghams, our music was a lighter love song.
And now the DNC again here in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes full circle. You know, they were the voice of a generation. Also interesting that the band kind of fell apart a little bit. They went their separate ways, but then they got a call from Mayor Jane Byrne's office to be part of Chicago Fest and be one of the headliners. And they got back together. If you still want to see them, I know you don't pay to see any music these days, Wendy, but if you wanted to, the Buckinghams have a Facebook page, so you could look into where their gigs are and check them out.
All right. I don't want to have to pay that much. I do pay. That's the problem. In radio, you used to get free tickets to these events. You know that.
That doesn't happen anymore.
No, yeah. It doesn't.
We just paid to see Taylor Swift, so I feel you.
Yeah, I got you. All right. The Picasso sculpture unveiled.
Okay, this is, you know, I think we've kind of come to love and accept the Picasso sculpture, haven't we?
Yes.
I mean, we have. But if you go back 57 years ago this week when Mayor Richard J. Daley proudly unveiled it, let me just take you to that moment. They had the dignitaries lined up, everybody across the Midwest who was anybody was there, thousands of people sort of gathered around that area of the loop just to try to catch a glimpse. They had the Chicago Symphony Orchestra playing, and the mayor could not have been more proud as they pulled the cord on this 50-foot-tall piece of art that Picasso had made just for our city. And you kind of, at the moment, Chicago collectively kind of just threw up all over it. Nobody liked it. They thought it was horrible. It didn't belong in our city. This is a down-to-earth place. What the heck is that even? This ultra-modern thing, it just didn't work to so many people. I went back and looked at some of the footage from the time, and people were carrying these signs that read, Colossal boo-boo, monstrosity. Mike Royko wrote that it looked like a giant insect with a long, stupid face. I mean, this was not embraced at the time. It was, like, horrifying to people. And so, you know, there you go. It's just interesting how it's come to just, maybe it was ahead of its time. I don't know what you say, but people have embraced it. And a lot of conversations, of course, about what it is over the years as well. But
and we have grown to love it. And finally here, tell how many licks does it take? Anna, can you tell us?
Do you like Tootsie Pops?
No.
Remember the old iconic?
I really don't, but I respect them.
Kind of bug me. Yeah, I do too. The history here, and as they are a Chicago creation, like so many iconic candies, 1931 is when they rolled out the Tootsie Pop. Tootsie Rolls were already super popular, and the Tootsie Roll Company kind of challenged its employees, let's come up with some kind of, you know, something new, a spinoff candy. And so in a brainstorming session, one guy had seen his daughter was eating both candy and Tootsie Rolls at the same time, and he kind of tasted it, and he said, you know what, we have something here. So they started with the chocolate outside and the chocolate inside and then moved into the other flavors. But here's that old ad, because it launched this ad that is just so memorable, one of the most iconic candy commercials of all time, and we pulled the clip for you.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out. One, two, three, three.
I love it. Love it, love it.
So scientists, the answer to your question, Wendy, finally, New York University had put a scientific research team on this, and they actually looked into how fast saliva dissolves hard candy shells around the Tootsie Roll Center. And they determined it takes right around 1,000 licks to get to the center. So
this is why we talk to Anna DeVlantis on the air. These things we need to know. Thank you so much, Anna.
Good talking with you, Wendy.